Dear friends in Jesus Christ, great to see you today. As we think today about what is more important in our life than something else, or getting to the topic of what is most important, as I think about my own body, my right arm, I value my right arm more than I value my mobile phone. Or what about this? Knowing Jesus, that is more valuable to me than my house and my car and all my possessions combined. I would hope that you're coming to that same conclusion. So do that now. What is most important to you? If you had to pick one thing, what is most important to you? Okay, you have your answer. Hopefully you could get it real quick and easy. Now, remember, our actions speak louder than our words. Our actions speak louder than what we have just decided in our minds and in our hearts, okay? So here's the question then. If knowing and living for Jesus is not number one in what we are saying and in what we are doing, what is God calling us to do? He is calling us to repent. So if Jesus is most important, that should be showing in what we are saying and in what we are doing. God help us. Last week, we had a parable, and that was a parable, well, I called it the parable of the real wheat and the fake wheat. That's a parable that Jesus told earlier in Matthew chapter 13. Today we continue in Matthew chapter 13, taking a look at three more parables dealing with the kingdom of heaven. The title of the first one here, The Great Treasure is Kingdom Membership. Going to verse 44 of Matthew 13, Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid again, and from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." Let's think about those words for just a moment. It talked about a treasure, and if we take a look at that word in the Greek and we get more to the meaning of it, not just a treasure, but we are talking about something of extreme, extreme value. And then it talked about it being hidden or concealed in the field. And the field is talking about the entire world. So we're not limiting ourselves to the United States or to any particular part of the world. Like in the whole world, what is of most extreme value in the entire world? Well, thinking on things that are valuable for a moment, maybe some of you are members of a country club. I've never been a member of such a place, but I guess that could be a fun thing to do. Well, if you happen to live in the New Orleans area, you might long to be a member of the New Orleans Country Club. And maybe some of you even are. Maybe you have a home down there and you are members. I don't know, but I was kind of surprised to find out that there is an initiation fee and then there is an annual membership. So if you want to be a member of that country club, the initiation fee is around $100,000, and then the annual membership is somewhere over $10,000. Now, if you were in a situation where you thought, "I want that so bad, that is extremely important to me," you would be probably willing to do whatever you had to do in order to pay that money and be a member. Now, Lisa's saying, "Nope, that wouldn't be that important to me." But some people, though, it might be that important. Now, what about Kingdom of Heaven membership? If being with God forever is most important to you, then you would be willing to do whatever. You would be willing to give up whatever in order to be a member of the kingdom of heaven. Did you notice what Jesus said? When the man found the treasure, he sold all that he had, everything that he had. He bought the field in order to get the treasure. It was so important to him. Well, Jesus said this, For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. What is he talking about there? Whoever wishes to save his life. That means when we are living for self. I want this. I want to say this. I want to do this. When we are living for self, we are gaining our own life, but we are losing our relationship with God. Jesus said the way to gain him is to deny self and follow him. So like he said, whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. Now, this life can seem like a long time, but let's always keep in mind this life is so very short in comparison to eternity. We have to keep that perspective in mind. Have we experienced eternity? We haven't, so this is all by faith. So it's important that we are believing what the Bible says. We are convinced it is true beyond all doubt. Going on to the second one here, we come to the great pearl, and I'm saying the great pearl is kingdom membership. In many respects, it's very similar to what we have in the first parable. Going to verse 45, Jesus said, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls, and upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. So, very similar. Let's understand the great value of kingdom membership. I think it's easy to think it's, oh yeah, it's important, it's good, but maybe we don't think it's quite as valuable as it really is. Let's set it out like this. So people are either members of the kingdom of heaven or they are non-members. Now, sometimes it's obvious, oh, that guy's got to be a member of the kingdom of heaven. But sometimes over here, we're like, oh, there's no way that guy could be a member of the kingdom of heaven. But then we have so many in that gray area in between, it's so hard for us to tell, even for individual people. A lot of times they don't even know. But let's understand, though, the Almighty God, he knows every heart. He knows whether people are members or non-members. Think about the differences here. So if you're a member, you have a relationship with the Almighty God. That relationship is through his Son, Jesus Christ, and all he did to take away our sins and to open the way for us to be reconciled to our Father in heaven. If you're a non-member, you are separated from God. You are rejecting Jesus. You are still in your sin, and your sin is bringing about this massive separation. People might not see it, they might not feel that way, but God wants people to know it is a reality. Without Jesus, there is this great separation. What else can we say? When we are a member, we are alive in Christ. When we are a non-member, we are dead in our sins. Many people in the world today, I don't think they're aware that there is a second way to be alive. We think about only physical life, but there is also spiritual life. When we know Jesus, we are alive in that second way. What is the great benefit of that? Being alive in Christ is more of who we really are, and someday when our bodies stop living, who we really are and our life in Christ, that continues. God takes that part of us home to heaven. And then one day, he will raise our bodies back to life and put us back together again. Being alive in Christ is so important, so much more important than physical life. How many people over the centuries have been willing to give up their own physical life because they were alive in Christ and they understood this is so much better than my short, temporal, physical life? God wants us to have that same perspective. What about this one? Living in peace versus living in fear. What does that mean to live in peace? Does that mean that everything in the world is wonderful? Everything in our lives are wonderful? It doesn't, but what it means is that in Christ, Our sins are forgiven. We are right with God. He loves us. He is in control of all things. No matter what kind of a mess I have going on in my life, I know that God is with me. I know that He is in control. I know that He is causing all things to work together for my good. So that way, I can be at peace. Come whatever, I know it's going to be okay because I know God through His Son, Jesus Christ. What about people living in fear? Think about someone receiving a cancer diagnosis who does not know Jesus. They've put everything into their physical life, and yet now they're hearing that my physical life might be coming to an end. They're devastated by the ending of their physical life, and they're also greatly fearful of what's going to happen when they die. That is no way to live. When I think about Kathy, about 15 years ago when she was diagnosed with cancer, it was interesting the way God worked it out. She had gone through a medical procedure, and we were in what you might call the recovery room, and her doctor came into that larger room there, and he was talking to a couple nurses. I was standing in there, and he told these nurses, he said, as soon as I give her the news that she has cancer, I want you two to go over there, and I want you to comfort her that she's getting this news about her cancer. So the doctor came, he explained the situation, and then he walked away right away. I don't think he knew what to say. These nurses came over, and I think before they even got a chance to say anything, Kathy starts talking right away. And she's like, everything is going to be fine. My life is in God's hands. I know God is in control. And she's really comforting the nurses rather than those nurses comforting her. But she said all the right things. It was such a powerful testimony that she's living in peace. And no matter what the news is, she knew it's going to be okay. So I could tell other stories like that too, about people knowing Jesus, getting bad news, and they are okay with it. Well, let me tell one more because it's right on the tip of my tongue. So we know that our friend Paul Martins passed away in the last week or two, and I still think about being at the hospital, and I visited with Paul there in the room, and he was going to have surgery the next day to remove part of his lung. So it was a very serious matter, and we had a nice visit and everything, and I'm going out the door, and right when I'm walking out the door, he said, "Don't worry, Pastor. Either way, it's going to be okay." You know, what was he saying there? He's like, hey, if I live, that's going to be okay. If I die, that's going to be okay too. That's what it means to have this peace. What a great thing that God has given us. And then the last one here I had, well, eternal bliss or eternal torment. So with all of these, they are just so much different. There is no in-between here. It's so much different. Let us rejoice that we are members. Let us rejoice what we know, what we believe. And it's not that we figured it out. God has given it to us. Let us rejoice in what God has made known, what God has enabled us to believe. So when we know and believe the differences that I've just shared right here, then we will be willing to give up absolutely everything to have membership in the kingdom of heaven. May that sink in to each of our lives. Now we go on to the third one here. We come to part three. I'm calling it the good fish are kingdom members. Well, I don't want to be a fish in any respect, I don't think. But anyway, though, better to be a good fish than a bad fish. You'll find out what I mean here in a moment. Jesus said, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet. So you can see in the image there, what is a dragnet? A dragnet is a net. It has things across the top of the net that make it float. Across the bottom of the net, it has weights that pull it down. So you can imagine when you have that net out into the water and you're dragging it, it's upright in this manner and it's able to take in a whole bunch of different things. So again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet cast into the sea and gathering fish of every kind. And when it was filled, they drew it up on the beach and they sat down and gathered the good fish into containers, but the bad they threw away. That is the parable. Going back to the filling of the dragnet, what can we say the filling is representing here as time marches on in this fallen world in which we live? The dragnet continues to be filled more and more with all different kinds of people. When the dragnet is full, that will be the end of the age. That will be the return of Jesus. That will be the final judgment. What about with the separating? Well, Jesus said there will be two men in the field. One will be taken, the other will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken, one will be left. So much togetherness in this world and so much uncertainty as to whether we're a member of the kingdom of heaven or not. But of course, when that final time comes, even though we might not know even about ourselves, or we might not know about others, God does know, and God will make the proper separation. God wants us to know there is a way that we can know for sure. So if you're not quite sure about your salvation, let's talk about that. I can point you to some things in the Bible that could be very helpful. God wants us to be certain. So who are the good fish then? You know, it could be confusing. We could say, well, wait a minute. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So what is the glory of God? That would be to live a perfect, sinless life. So Jesus, the Son of God, he did perfectly glorify his Father because he did live a sinless, perfect life. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God because we have all fallen into sin. So who are the good fish then? What makes the difference? Well, think about it like this. By the love and choosing and power of God. So notice with those words, we are excluded. God is the one here taking the action. By the love of God, by the choosing of God, by the power of God, some unrepentant sinners. So we're talking about people who were not sorry for their sins, who were rejecting Jesus. Some such people have been changed into repentant sinners. In other words, they have been changed from bad fish into good fish. That's what he's saying here in the parable. And then we come to the parable being explained, picking up in verse 49. Jesus said, "So it will be at the end of the age, the angels will come forth and take out the wicked, that is, doers of evil, from among the righteous, and will throw them into the furnace of fire. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." So who are these wicked ones? Well, we're talking about all the people who do not know Jesus. Now, keep in mind, it's one thing to know about Jesus. Oh, yeah, I know about Jesus. He is the one talked about in the Bible. He's the one who's the Son of God. He's the one who died on the cross. That's knowing about him. But to know Jesus, that is a God-given gift by which we are in relationship with him. We know that we are completely helpless. We know that he is the only Savior. By the grace of God, we are clinging to him alone as our Savior. He is everything to us. I hope that every one of you are believing that, thinking that, saying that in your hearts and minds, even now. So thinking about what we did last week, who are these wicked ones? Well, first of all, we're thinking about the fake wheat that we talked about last week. So when we think about the real wheat and the fake wheat, it looks almost identical. When it's beginning to grow, it does look identical. When it comes to maturity, there is a little bit of a difference, but still, even then, it's very similar. That's a little bit like the two houses, one built on the rock, one built on the sand. They kind of look the same from the street, but they have a very different foundation, though. When we come to the fake wheat, people are in that category. In some cases, they have chosen that category. They want to be fake wheat. Probably most of the people are in that category because they have been deceived. What did Jesus say? You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. But not too many people have time to find out what the truth of God is in order that the Spirit can work to make them free. So important. Who else are the wicked ones? Well, the ones with mixed up priorities. So think about the first two parables today. We had the hidden treasure, and then we had the great pearl. So both of those are representing membership in the kingdom of heaven, or we could say relationship with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In the parables, the people recognized the great value and they gave up everything in order to have Jesus. But what happens though? People end up holding on to their own possessions, their own time, their own fun, their own desires. And when they do that, they make those things more important. They make those things their God, and then they miss out on knowing Jesus. A sad situation. What else? Well, with the bad fish. So they're in that same category too. So either by choice or by deception, they end up being numbered among the wicked ones. Coming to the end of the chapter here, we have kind of a chapter summary. You might recall earlier in the chapter, Jesus' disciples asked him to explain a parable to them. So here, Jesus said to his disciples, "Have you understood all these things?" They said to him, "Yes." And then Jesus responded to them and said, "Therefore, every scribe who has become a disciple of the kingdom of heaven is like a head of a household who brings out his treasure, things new and old." Now, none of us are exactly a scribe, so a person skilled in Jewish law and theology, but at the same time, though, we are holy children of God. We all have a copy of the Bible. We all know many things from the Word of God. So what's going on here then? Well, as Jesus' disciples were learning from him and following him, we have done the same. We have been learning from him for many years. In most cases, we have been following him for many years. So what can we say? We have old things of truth from the Word of God that we've known for a long time. We know that God is the creator of the world. We know that all have fallen into sin. We know that Jesus is the Son of God, that he lived the sinless life, that he took our sin, that he took our eternal punishment, that only through him is the way to God the Father. We know these old things very well. And then, with the disciples and also with us, what else can we say? We have new things that we have learned recently. I hope all of you have the practice of opening and reading your Bible every day, thinking about it a little bit. God will give you understanding, and then when you come across a key verse, put it to memory. But what I'm trying to say is you are learning more and more. God wants us to be that way. Finally today, let us treasure them. Let us treasure the old things. Let us treasure the new things. And let us share them with anyone who is willing to listen. Let us pray. Dear Holy Spirit, we pray that you would keep working in our minds and in our hearts so that our membership in the kingdom of heaven is always most important. May that show in what we say and in what we do. And then move us to function with great wisdom, with great love, in order to be an eternal blessing to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.